In the news, they're covering a story, let's say, about drugs. And as they cover that story, they give you maybe statistics, they give you medical details, they give you financial details about the way in which drugs are affecting people. But then the camera might cut to the life of a particular person. And suddenly the story is not just anymore just statistics and figures, it's personal. And they focus in on that person and they humanize the story. And it makes it maybe so much more real rather than just being about facts and figures and details that we might just allow to wash over us. How is the drugs habit of this person? I saw a man actually on TV this week, and he was spending £400 a week on drugs. £400 a week. He had lost his health, he had lost his family, he had lost his home, his job. You know, you can talk about drugs, but actually when you see it in a person's life, suddenly the issue becomes so much more real and so much more personal. And there's a sense that that's what's happening here in the book of Joshua that we have been looking at. It's the story of God's people moving into the promised land. These middle chapters are accounts of the kings that they defeated. They're accounts of the land that was parceled out to the different tribes. It all seems so very, I suppose, administrative. It seems so very factual and boring, really. It's like reading a telephone book at times. It's just names and numbers. And there doesn't seem to be much to kind of, you know, fill your soul with joy and give your soul some food. But then the camera stops on this man, Caleb. And here in chapter 14, the camera zooms in on Caleb, as it were, and here we get a personal angle. What was it actually like for someone on the ground? So we're going to think about Caleb this morning. The name means bold or brave. And certainly Caleb was a man who was bold for God. He was brave for God. And I want to say three things about him as we think today about this man's life. The first thing I want to say is that this was a man who saw God. You remember back in the book of Numbers, before the book of Joshua, we first of all meet Caleb in Scripture. There he's one of the 12 tribes, one of the 12 spies that is chosen from the 12 tribes. He is the delegate from the tribe of Judah that's to go into the promised land as a spy to suss out the land that they're about to go into. They return after 40 days scouting out the promised land and they say, yes, it's a land full of milk and honey. Yes, it's a place of great wealth and a place that looks to be a good place to live in. But the 10 of the spies say, we can't attack this people. They are stronger than we are. And then they begin to spread fake news that the men there, they're giants. We're just grasshoppers in comparison to the men there. And the people lose heart. The people's hearts sink because they say, oh, well, if they're all giants over there, we have no chance against men like that. But then there's Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb says in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Three times in two verses, Caleb mentions the Lord. You see, some people, all they can see are the difficulties, the obstacles, the dangers. The pessimism of their hearts rules their heads. They say things like, oh, it's not prudent, it's not wise, it's not appropriate, it's not the right time. But Caleb saw God. And because he saw God, he saw that this was not an impossible task. And Caleb talks that way, we're told in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, because Caleb had a different spirit. And God said, he follows me wholeheartedly, or he follows me fully, or he follows me wholly. Caleb clearly had faith that wasn't just the I believe in God type of faith. Even the demons in hell have that sort of faith. Caleb had a different spirit, and his faith came from his different spirit, and that meant he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He was not half-hearted, he was wholehearted. Not lukewarm, not apathetic, but someone whose faith meant that he was bold for the Lord, he was brave for the Lord, he was intrepid and seeking to do exploits for the Lord. We read in Revelation chapter 3, the seventh of the seven letters that Jesus sent to the churches in Asia Minor. The seventh letter was to the city of Laodicea. The people of that city, their opinion of themselves was that they were rich, they had wealth, they wanted nothing, life was good. Yet Jesus said to them, "You're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm." Imagine on a really cool day, someone hands you a cup of tea and you're looking forward to a good cup of tea to warm yourself up, and they give you, it's lukewarm. You go, "Yuck. I wanted something to warm me up. I wanted something good. That's just tepid." And Jesus said, a church of lukewarm people, Jesus said, they make me sick. I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's what he said. See, when Jesus wrote letters, he didn't write nice wee letters to people. He wrote letters that were appropriate, that were fitting, that spoke into their lives. And he said, unless you repent and receive me into your lives in a powerful way and get back on fire for me again, Jesus said, well, it's just going to be a sickly church that makes me sick. Could I ask you today, if you claim to be a believer, are you wholeheartedly following the Lord? Is that your spirit? Have you got a can-do mentality for the Lord? Nothing too much for the Lord. Is that your desire to serve Him joyfully? Because Caleb here surely is a challenge to us to ask ourselves, well, are we half-hearted or are we wholehearted? Caleb wasn't a nine-commandment man or an eight-commandment man or a seven-commandment man. He was a ten-commandment man. Caleb killed sin wherever he found it in his life. Caleb witnessed for Christ as opportunity arose. He spoke up. Even though the people were going to stone him, he spoke up. He was prepared for the cost. I believe he gave, probably he gave a tenth at least to the work of the Lord as the law required. He prayed, he served, he worshipped, he loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. He's a challenge to me. Do I serve the Lord wholeheartedly? Do you serve the Lord wholeheartedly? Maybe you're not a believer today, and maybe it's hypocrites that put you off. People who say they're believers, and yet their lives, really, they're pretty insipid, aren't they? And you think to yourself, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want really any part of it. Well, don't judge it by those people. Judge it by men like Caleb, who followed the Lord wholeheartedly. There is something good and there is something great about the men and women who serve God and who are not frittering their lives away, but who are wholehearted for God because they see God. They see that Jesus Christ came into the world and died upon a cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God didn't hold back his Son. Nothing half-hearted in what happened on Calvary. Jesus gave up his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Caleb saw God in all his glory and goodness, and Caleb wholeheartedly followed God. And it's lovely to read his story here in Scripture. The second thing I want to say about him today is that, yes, he was a man who saw God, but he was also a man who acted upon God's word. And that takes us now back to the book of Joshua and Joshua chapter 14. In the book of Numbers, which we have already dealt with, Caleb is a younger man. He's 40 years of age. But now as we come into the book of Joshua, we come to a man, he's much older, he's now 85 years of age. 45 years have passed between the book of Numbers and the book of Joshua. I love what Colin Peckham says in his devotional commentary on the book of Joshua. He says, most men at 85 are putting on their slippers, but Caleb is putting on his army boots for war. You see, God had made him a promise. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me, Joshua 14, verse 12. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. Again, to quote Colin Peckham, the 10 gazed at the giants, the 2 gazed at God. The 10 had great giants and a small God, but the 2 had a great God and small giants. For Caleb, the Lord helping him, God was bigger, greater, grander, more powerful. Nothing was impossible for him. The Anakites with their fortified cities, what were they? God had made him a promise. God had said, this land was for you. So God's word could not be broken. Victory was sure. And so this man, 85 years of age, straps on his army boots and says, right, boys, let's go. You see, in old age, you don't need to fade away. But you can keep on fire for God. Michael Cassidy is a South African church leader. He tells in his autobiography, just recently released actually, and he's about 85 years of age, but he tells of his young days as a Christian, his conversion to Jesus Christ in his university days. He tells of how after the first thrill of conversion passed, doubts began to squeeze their way into his life, and he slipped away from his initial certainty. He shared it with an older Christian who referred him to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In his autobiography, Cassidy says, I pondered the words, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I went back to my digs that day, sure that I was to increase my faith, that if so, I must devote more time and care to the study of God's word. Next morning, he says, I did not read my Bible in bed or say my prayers beneath the warmth of the blankets. I got out of bed and spent 20 minutes on my knees. And as I developed this habit of the daily quiet time, so my doubts were dispelled. You see, engaging with God's word transformed his life of faith, removed his doubts. And as I say, that was a man of about 20 years of age. Now he's in his 80s, mid-80s, and still very much serving God. I remember back in the early 1990s meeting an English lady. I'm guessing she's dead now, but she may not be, but her name was Dorothy. She had retired from her job in England. I'm guessing she probably at that stage, she would have been about 60, early 60s or so. And she took it to God and she said, Lord, what can I do now with my life? I'm retired, I'm a single woman. How can I serve you? She prayed about it. She sought God. She felt God's call to do what? To be a Bible smuggler into China. She didn't look strong enough to lift suitcases full of Bibles. But Dorothy carried suitcases of Bibles into China time after time after time again. You see, for her, retirement wasn't about putting her feet up and doing nothing or fading away. For her, retirement was about new ways to serve the Lord. Psalm 92 talks about the righteous still bearing fruit in old age, staying fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. There's something about older people still serving God. There's something about older people still bearing fruit in old age. There's something about older people staying fresh and green in their faith that speaks to the younger. And it speaks to the older as well. Don't fade away. Don't lose your way. But keep on bearing fruit for God, still trusting His word, still looking for new ways to serve Him. Even as Caleb did at 85 years of age. The third thing about Caleb I want to say today, he saw God, he acted on God's word. He also practically provided for his family. And this is in Joshua 15 and also in Judges chapter 1. Two ways he did that. Firstly, his daughter needed a husband. And so we're told in verse 16, he just didn't kind of look for any man for his daughter. Caleb said, "I give my daughter in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. I want a man for my daughter who's a man. A man who'll go out and engage in a military exercise. I want a man, a man's man for my daughter." And I would guess to be Caleb's son-in-law was probably quite a daunting prospect. But Othniel steps forward, and Othniel was an honorable man because he became one of the first judges in the book of Judges. So Caleb's daughter got a husband. Caleb provided that husband for his daughter. And then when she asked for springs of water for her land, she could offer donkey, says Joshua 15, verse 18. And she asked Caleb, Caleb asked her, "What can I do for you?" She replied, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. In a hot land, water was vital. And water is precious. But Caleb saw the need for his daughter to have water, and so he generously gave the springs to his daughter and to his son-in-law. I know that people who are maybe not Christians or of other faiths are good to their families. I know you don't have to be a Christian to be good to your family. But if you are a Christian, if you are wholeheartedly following the Lord, you should be good to your family. Here we learn that spiritual men are not walking around with their heads in the clouds. Spiritual men think of the needs of their children and meet those needs. They may be leaders, they may be spiritual giants, they may be occupied in different ways, but Caleb thought about his family and provided for his nearest and dearest. John Wesley once said, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians of England." I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians of England. What example are you setting to your children? What example am I setting to my child? What example are you setting in your family to those, your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, whatever relations you have? What example are you setting? Are you meeting their needs? This is not a man who is just all spiritual, sitting around reading his Bible, saying his prayers. This is a man who is reaching out. And I would guess that Caleb's daughter learned more about the faith from her father than from all the theologians in Israel. As I close today, today is full attendance day and gift day, and we're thrilled to have a full house and chairs have been brought in, and hopefully before too long, the completion of our brand new facilities will be possible. And we do need buildings. We do need buildings. We need buildings to worship in, to provide youth ministries, hospitality events like funeral teas and coffee mornings, but these buildings need to be paid for. We don't like mentioning money, but money is actually necessary for the running of a church, for the upkeep of buildings. We have to be practical as well as spiritual. But is it just about buildings? Is it just about numbers? What I want to see above all is men and women who are wholehearted for the Lord. What I want to see above all is men and women who are fully given over to the Lord, who take their stand in this day and in this generation, and who believe in the Church of Jesus Christ, and who commit to the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to see. I want to see young people who aren't buying into the politically correct agendas that are devastating lives all across our country. Make no mistake, lives are being destroyed by the politically correct agendas of our day and age. Yesterday, some of us men were up at the Irish Men's Convention, and Don Carson was preaching, great American Canadian theologian. And he talked about the stunning simplicity of Scripture that tells us that when God made mankind, he made them male and female. Stunning simplicity. Think of how our world today is destroying lives with politically correct agendas. In comparison to the stunning simplicity of Scripture, we need young people who will take their stand on the Scriptures of God and who go out from here to live either locally or across the island or across the world for the glory of God. And young people who will commit to the Church of Jesus Christ. The church that will stand. Where are today's Calebs? The name means all heart. Brave heart, maybe. Where are the men and women who will be wholehearted for the Lord, who will fully follow him, who gave up all for them on Calvary's Hill? He didn't do it so that you and I would be half-baked, 50-50 people. He did it that you and I would be 100% people. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not 50%, 60%, 70%, 99%, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And as these people moved into the land, there were Calebs on the ground. Isn't that great? There were Calebs there, spiritual giants. May God raise up a generation of spiritual giants in Drumrea. And I wonder today if the camera, as we started by talking about, if the camera stops over your life, would it stop over the life of a spiritual giant or of a spiritual pygmy? What would your life be? What would my life be? What does the camera reveal today as it shines on your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Caleb, and we thank you that he was wholehearted for you. We thank you that he was given over in his love and in his devotion, in his service, in his worship to you. That here was a man who just got on with serving you, though the numbers were against him, though the fake news was flying and the propaganda was buzzing. Here was a man who just saw you in the midst of it all. And our Father, we thank you that that's the challenge to us today, that we would not get caught up in the world's agendas, but that we would take our stand on your word, that we would see you in all your power and in all your glory, but that, Father, we wouldn't forget our families, but we would care for their basic needs. Father, we thank you for this man. We thank you for this scripture. Continue with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.